Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Obviously, the punch was on Draymond, and I'm sure that that had all kinds of effects in terms of team chemistry and Jordan as a player. But this whole, like, growing with the team thing, I literally think that that's what led to all of the anxiety and the angst between the players at that time, was that Jordan felt he had outgrown it. He was doing that for a very long time, and that's why it was working. And then something happened in that offseason after they won the championship, where whether it was contractual and financial, something happened.
Physical?
Absolutely. Something happened where a lot of the teammates felt like Jordan had completely, his ego was running amok.
And it all, I think, started before he got punched, because you saw the reports of Clay and their trip to Asia, yep, where, you know, Clay was kind of remarking that Jordan was feeling himself. And so, yeah, I'm sure a part of it was that, you know, Jordan became a champion. He played great for the most part in the championship year. In the playoffs, he wasn't used quite as much as he would have wanted, and the team still went out and won, and then he got the bag. And I do think after Draymond punched him in practice, that set a certain course of events that might have already been underway, but Jordan Poole was unable to really play the way they needed him to play. And I think that beyond what happened with Draymond Green, Jordan Poole, basketball-wise, stylistically, I think that he had gotten to a point where he was going to play a certain way, and he's best playing a certain way. And I think about D'Angelo Russell as an example of a player who is a great individual player, and he's a guy who's now been on five or six different teams, but as an individual scorer, D'Angelo Russell is a fantastic scorer.
Right,
he
right.
can get you a bucket from all three levels, and you know, the way he plays, it doesn't really fit with what the way the Golden State Warriors play, and that's okay. You could still be a great player, but you may not stylistically work with the Warriors, and I think outside of the punch, and I do agree with that caller to a big example about, you know, what that meant when Draymond didn't get punished and all the rest of it, but basketball-wise, stylistically, I don't think that Jordan Poole fits with the way the Warriors play.
Yeah, and but somewhere in there, like, I get it. I don't think that this is a unique story at all. The player who is 22, 23, coming up, has success, puts up 20 a night, wins a ring, is about to get a contract offers, and suddenly looks at the framework of the league and goes, dude, I want max money in an organization where I can be the dog. That happens all the time. And that's what happened here. It just happened to go really, really sideways.
And I can't help but think about Jonathan Kuminga when he gets to that spot here in, I guess it's 3 months or so, when the season ends, whenever it ends. And what's Jonathan Kuminga's motivation going to be? What is he going to be looking for? And I know it's a little different because he's a restricted free agent, as was Jordan Poole, but they extended Jordan Poole, and then that year happened, he got punched and he didn't play great and the fit wasn't there, and they traded him. And so the same thing could happen with Jonathan Kuminga, but every player is different when they get that bag, and some react in a way that is not necessarily conducive to them being a great teammate. And, you know, Jonathan Kuminga is going to get between 25 and 45, let's just say, million a year, which is going to be at least a 3x increase on what he's making now.
Yep.
So you go from 7 to 25, 30, 35, 40, whatever that is. How does that change you? Some guys, it doesn't change at all. Some people, it completely changes you.
Well, and the chase for it does too. And that's why there is some stress around it. And I get that. You know, Jonathan Kuminga wants to start, and people will be like, oh, don't worry about that. Just come off the bench. You'll still get your 28 minutes. And to a degree, I agree with that. But I also understand why it bothers Jonathan. There are millions of dollars on the line almost every time he goes out there. And whether or not that should stress him out, I know how the every person looks at that. And we go, oh, you're going to make between 25 and 45? Who cares if it's on the high end of the spectrum or the low? Who cares? You're set for life either way. Sure. But in their world, like any big-time business person, that's not the way they're going to look at it. They're going to look at that as there are millions, millions more on the line, more respect, more standing, more opportunity, all of that. So that's why it's stressful, even though, you know, he looks like he's just bebopping along and trying to score buckets for the Warriors. Let's go to John and Marin. We're still taking your calls throughout this 5 o'clock hour, 888-957-9570. The question where this conversation started is, do you still wish that Poole was on the team? And we're hoping that he's in his hotel gym right now listening to us. So you can tell him, you know. Do you still wish Jordan was on the team? John and Marin, hey, next up. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Yeah, hey. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to say what others might be thinking and aren't saying, which is I personally think Poole deserved to get punched in the face.
Oof.
This is not like your assistant manager at the Geek Squad at Best Buy's. These are elite athletes playing premier sports, and, you know, you don't, as a 22-year-old, you don't start talking crap to a, you know, multi-time all-star, four-time champion, and we know what he said now, and his attitude was just bigger than his head, and today he's not even that good. He's got the premier spot. He could be the man. He's averaging 20 points. He's not a 28. He's not a 29. He's not a Kevin Durant, and he was just a punk. And I couldn't wait for him to leave.
John, I feel like you at least believe that you know more than we know. And here's what I mean by that. When you said we know what he said, I don't. What do you know exactly what he said?
Yeah, he said you're nothing but a $30 million backpack for Curry.
Okay.
That's what he said. Okay.
I know that the rumors are out there.
Right.
I've heard all of the guesses. Are we moving forward in life with that being 100% confirmed?
I don't know if it's 100% confirmed, but even if that is what he said, that to me is not worthy of getting cold-cocked by a teammate, especially when you hear Draymond Green talk about trash talk and
the
nature of it and the back and forth part of it.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, I just have a hard time with him deserving to get punched. If you have two players who are squaring off in a heated argument or a heated moment and things escalate and somebody gets punched, okay, it was, you know, he pushed me and I pushed you, and missed me with the whole idea of Jordan Poole pushed him first, which he kind of shoved him away. I get that, but I have a hard time with the idea of somebody in that spot, quote, deserving to get punched.
That was an uncomfortable comment. Just being honest with you, John, that's uncomfortable to hear.
He's entitled to that opinion.
Yeah, you're entitled.
He's not alone.
I guess. I mean,
he's not alone.
I could argue you're not entitled to that opinion. It's not legal.
No, but like, you can.
What Draymond did is actually outside of the law.
Right, but like, there are things that happen, and people feel like they are justified based on your own way to, you
sure,
know,
sure, 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 sure. If I'm walking through a mall with my 15-year-old daughter and you put your hand on her, now we're having a different conversation.
Yeah.
If you're practicing in the NBA and you're just trash talking each other, like, I guess. Especially, like, are we going to go there? We're talking about Draymond Green, and you're not allowed to trash talk? He's one of the great trash talkers in the world right now. Does Brandon Pajemski deserve to get punched? Everything I've heard is he's a cocky son of a you-know-what cruising around. And they love that in him. I think NBA players actually, they respond to that more often than not, which is they want confidence, borderline cockiness in a teammate. Steph Curry saying the other day, we are more than confident that we can beat anybody in this NBA. Really? You're a party of one. Nobody else thinks you can. But that's the way they're built. And so, I don't know, man. I have a hard time in sports saying that trash talk leads to that. Now, what I have said is it feels to me like all parties in this were getting under one another's skin and starting to push in opposite directions. Like, I'm actually more sort of activated by what I actually saw in games than supposedly whatever Jordan said to Draymond that day. I am more activated by the fact that Draymond once walked off the court in the middle of a basketball game while the clock was running.
Right.
I'm activated by Steph Curry throwing a mouthpiece. I'm activated by Klay Thompson throwing the palms up. all because of decisions that Jordan Poole made within the framework of basketball games. That's what I use as evidence that people were kind of done with his behavior, both on the court and off.
And
it doesn't deserve a punch.
It doesn't, and it also, the punch doesn't necessarily justify the way he played, but I look at the way that whole thing went, and it felt to me like, in many ways, a void of leadership, where it happens, Draymond does what he does, and there's no punishment, and if I was in Jordan Poole's spot, I would be very upset, and yeah, you just got the bag, and so you're paid, but you had your teammate not only cold cock you in practice, but the video gets leaked, and now globally, everybody has an opinion, and a lot of the opinions are either you deserve it, like John, our previous caller, said, or at the very least, you got served, and you got knocked out, and why didn't you fight back, and you must be this, and are you that, and how soft are you, and all the rest of it, and you know, he got embarrassed. When you are a pro athlete, and you get knocked out by a teammate, and then it gets out, that's embarrassing. Sure. And then there's no punishment in the rest of it. And so he's supposed to go out there and now, okay, I'm going to make sure that I make the right pass, and I'm going to make sure that I defer to everybody. And I'm not justifying his play that seemed to me to be a little bit selfish at times, but I understand why you might react that way. It's the reaction could easily be, F this team.
Sure. Yeah, I also think, you know, like, gosh, I don't know how many months this topic
months.
Sort of like ran Bay Area sports and this radio station and all of that. I do want to sort of reiterate what we're talking about today, which is, do you still wish Jordan Poole was on the team? And I know that for historical context, this stuff is going to come up and be a part of everyone's points. I don't want to re-adjudicate the punch.
Sure.
Like, Draymond Green, out of line, okay, let's talk about some other things. Again, for me, this is a basketball point more than anything else.
Agreed.
It's a basketball point. Matt in the city is next up. Hi, Matt. Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to chime in that Jordan Poole, I think it was a good move to let him move on from us. But what I didn't like is what happened afterwards. We failed to address our structural issues. We didn't have a big man. We don't have a backup to Curry. Now, we got Schroeder now. I like him as a backup, but I don't like him being him and Curry on the court together. I don't think that's a good mix.
Why is that, Matt? You're talking about Schroeder. You don't like him and Curry together. Why is that?
I just think they're too small, and I just don't think when you got bigger defenders, you're going to struggle. When they put the Minnesota guy, that 6'9" defender on Curry, that's a really tough cover. That's a real tough match, a matchup for Curry. Now, Curry's great. He can handle it. But
yeah, he sure did.
But that wears on him.
No, you're talking about McDaniels. Matt, thanks. And no doubt, he's a tenacious defender.
Right.
And watching Steph perform that night was unbelievable because it looked exhausting. And he put up 7 threes and 31 points. Just an unbelievable performance in a one-point win. I don't know, man. I don't think necessarily the Schroeder-Curry combo is too small. I just think that Schroeder usually is used to doing something in the NBA that he doesn't get to do that much when Steph Curry's on the floor, which is Schroeder wants the ball in his hands and he wants to play pick and roll. And that's sort of like that turns Steph Curry into PJ Tucker, where he's just standing in the corner waiting for things to sort of roll his way. And so I think that's what Schroeder is struggling with. He doesn't get to do as much here with the Warriors as what he's used to doing.
Well, when Steph is out, then you can find your way to do that. And I do think the other night against Minnesota, you had Schroeder actually get to run some pick and rolls and start to play more like he's comfortable playing. But I also was struck by what Steph was doing out of the pick and roll. And he hit Kevon once, if not twice. He hit GP2 on some rolls where you know, Curry knows that they're probably going to trap him out of a screen roll, and it's just a couple of bounce passes, a couple of great finds down the lane, and he was able to get other guys involved.
Let me ask you this, because there's another piece to this that's interesting that I hear from a lot of people. So you signed Poole, and what was it, $32 million a year, the average?
Yeah.
Right, okay, $32 million a year. Let me just ask you this in a general sense. Forget the state of the Warriors. Forget the state of the Wizards. In general, if you were building a team right now, would you want Jordan Poole for $32 million?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. Although 32 in 2 or 3 years, you know, as the cap continues to grow, it's not huge.
Yeah, when Zach LaVine's making 46, you're like, yeah, okay. But in the grand scheme of things, as I space out my money in a salary cap league and I'm trying to win, do you want to do $32 million for Jordan Poole? And keep in mind, the collective bargaining agreement is now such that it does make it a lot harder to have what I would say three players north of $30 million. It's very difficult to do that now. So if your answer is no, and it sounds like your answer is certainly a hard lean no.
It's no, yeah.
My answer is no. So if that's the way you look at Jordan's contract, then you would also, I would think, argue that it is, quote, an NBA bad contract. Jordan Poole for $32 million, if you think that's not worth it, that's called a bad contract. And NBA teams are constantly trying to trade those. They're constantly trying to get rid of bad contracts. So when people look at the Poole deal and they go, all you got was Chris Paul, and then you turned Chris Paul into nothing, and you got nothing for Jordan Poole, that was a terrible deal. Couldn't I argue that the Warriors simply did a magic job of getting out of a bad contract, because you couldn't keep Jordan Poole at that moment for less. And so what they did was they signed it, and then they got out from underneath it in 1 year. Now, I don't know that that's exactly the way that they were looking at it, but it clears space now for what you want to do with Kuminga, if you want to do that. It cleared space for Steph to get another year. The Draymond deal, which I know a lot of people don't like, but the bottom line is you can't keep that many people for over $30 million. So maybe the Warriors actually did a good job of getting out from underneath it.
Yes and no. I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily call it a bad contract. It's not, if you're a good team, and let's just say they still had him, and he's making on average 32, and you have Draymond and Steph and Wiggins, then that's probably going to be your big four. And the rest of your team is going to be comprised of Kevon and GP2 and other guys making about that much. And then when Kuminga comes up, would you be able to also have Kuminga in there? Then it becomes very, very difficult.
Problematic.
So I don't know if it's a bad contract relative to, and I'm looking at the list of overall contracts right now, and there are some worse contracts for sure, like Zach LaVine, you mentioned.
Sure. No.
And
I wouldn't.
That's now untradeable.
Not the worst, but not great.
It's okay. I mean, it's okay. If he's your third best player, and he would be the Warriors' third best player, let's just say, your third best scorer, if you had him and Draymond and Wiggins and Steph, and let's put aside the Jordan Poole, Draymond part of it, let's just say you had Jordan Poole on this team, a guy who can get you 18 or 20 a night, and there wasn't any of the acrimony or the water under the bridge,
yeah.
I do think the contract is not bad. And
would you match it? What if he were a restricted free agent and he went out on the market and someone offered him the deal that he did get, which was, 128.
Correct.
4 years, $128 million. All right. So he's a restricted, he's just like Kuminga. And he goes out on the market and the Washington Wizards offer him 4 years and 128. Are you matching?
I think so, absolutely. And I look at Jonathan Kuminga in that same light, and Steiny and Guru had a great discussion, and the great Joe Spadoni actually threw it out. And, you know, is there a number that Jonathan Kuminga could fetch as a restricted free agent that would make the Warriors blush and balk at it? And Spadoni said 4 years and 180, which is $45 million a year. And if I'm the Warriors and Brooklyn, let's just use Brooklyn because they have room.
They have the space.
Brooklyn says, we want to give Kuminga 4 years and $180 million. If I'm the Warriors, I say, good luck, Godspeed, hope you like the New York subway system. Now, if it's 4 years and $160 million, I think maybe you have a little bit more of a thought that you might match that. So with Jordan Poole, if it's 4 years and 128, and I know that I'm going to get a guy who is, you know, 17 to 22 points a night with warts, not a great defender, a little bit of a turnover machine, etc., I think that I would match that. And again, this is putting aside the backstory of what
putting
we
aside,
know.
Yes, I'm talking about the basketball player.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that I would.
Well, when you look at like the cost of like the cost of that, the cost of having a player who can do what he does at that age, that's kind of the going rate.
Well, right. So you got to choose wisely. I mean, that's funny because just because that's the cost of it doesn't mean that you have to say yes. I mean, there are people who have that opinion about Brock Purdy because everyone keeps telling everyone that. Sorry, that's what good quarterbacks cost. And you'll hear some people be like, well, I don't have to, you know, I don't have to shop there then. If I don't have to go to Barney's, if that's what things cost in there. No, you don't have to.
Right.
Now, I have very much and will continue to argue that in the 49ers' particular situation, it is easily the best option for them. And they can spread that money out in ways that most people don't really foresee. And it won't hurt them for at least 3 to 4 years. And that's what I would do. But I hear you if you're like, well, if you're telling me that a quarterback is $140 million guaranteed and a $300 million deal, if you're telling me that that's what he's earned, I don't have to buy that one. And that's what I would say about Jordan Poole and his 20 points a game. Like, you don't play on the other end, and I don't love your decision-making, I'll spend 32 on a different guard then.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you can.
Or I'll spread it out and get two forwards or whatever.
Well, and that's kind of what you have now with,
with
Slo-Mo and Buddy and Dennis Schroeder. The three of them collectively make a little bit less, I think, than what Jordan Poole fetches. But I'm looking at some of the salaries here, and Emmanuel Quickley of Toronto signed a 5-year, $162 million deal, which is a flat 32.5 a year. And he's just a guy. He gets you 16 a night, but is he the kind of guy who can help you win? Is he a winning player? Probably not. Mm. And so, you know, you're looking at, I think, especially with Kuminga, if you're looking to give Kuminga 5 years, or let's just say 4 and 160, $40 million a year, you had better be certain that he's a guy who can help you win basketball games.
Yeah.
When Steph is gone.
And while still more certainly raw and unproven than what Poole had done, that is, I would argue, a more broad and more unique skill set, what Kuminga does.
Yes.
Better on both ends of the floor. He's bigger. He's more athletic. Like, he projects to be able to do more things. If you want to find somebody who's 6'3 and can shoot the three and finish with 20 a night, but do it as a volume shooter, I feel like that grows on more trees than Kuminga's do.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. But I do also think that if you're going to give a guy $40 million, you're going to want him to be somewhat special.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking, you know, you've got a lot of these guys who are making that, and a good example is Lauri Markkanen, who's now getting $238 million. He's got a 5-year deal. He's making $238 million, and he's a great player. He's a unicorn. He's a guy who can score at all three levels. He's 6'11", but he plays for Utah, and they stink. So you're going to pay a guy that much, and he's going to help you score points. I don't know how many like basketball games they're going to win in the front end of that deal. And by the end, the back end of it, when he's making $53 million, you hope he's got some help. Otherwise, what are we paying for?
Yeah, although by then, other max contract players will be making 70. You know, he's making 47. Steph's already making over 60,
yep.
Isn't he?
Yes.
Or will be?
He will be making 62. The biggest number I see on this spreadsheet is Joel Embiid. His player option in the last year of his deal will be for 67.2.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That one's tough. Because he's just not available. And seemingly, complex in the locker room, and from a personality standpoint, I'm not close enough to the Philly Sixers, but just watching Joel Embiid from afar, it feels like someone who really has the possibility of wearing an organization out.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Between him, Maxey, and Paul George, that is almost $600 million worth of money owed, and Philly struggles.
They're terrible.
Right. You've got Embiid, Maxey, and George owed a collective $600 million, and
they're 15 and 24.
What's that getting you?
Yeah,
exactly.
And how many games has Embiid even played this year?
Yeah, not a lot.
What do we got? 39 games. I'll look it up right now.
I would say he's probably played in 19.
You think he's played in 19?
My guess.
Joel Embiid so far this year has played in 13 games.
Yeah, wow.
13 games.
That was way too high.
Yeah, yeah. James in Fremont. Hi, thanks for calling Willie and Dibby.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Yeah, to you too.
Yes.
So I would just like to make a comment with regards to Jordan Poole. I think what's getting lost in the conversation is, I think if he stayed as a Warrior, his confidence level would have stayed high. He's playing right next to or behind Curry. I think his ceiling wasn't really realized, or we didn't really get to see him at his best because he was thrown over there at the Wizards. So I think that if he stayed as a Warrior, then we would have a better succession plan moving forward. So that's I'm thinking that maybe that's the lost potential that we didn't see with Jordan Poole because he didn't stay with the team.
Yeah, James, I wonder, and thanks for the call. Here would be my response to that. I don't know that Jordan was as comfortable with that role and setting as we as Warrior fans would all like him to be.
Comfortable as the sixth man.
Hanging out below Steph for the rest of his life.
Apparent, yeah.
That's what I'll never know. And my guess is that angst was a big part of what sort of ended up happening. And that had been sort of my feeling for about a year leading forward. I liked Jordan Poole before everything went sideways, but I had questions about whether or not he would want to be here because it was clear that Steph wasn't going anywhere anytime soon. And so what you bring up is interesting, James, because I wonder, especially now, now you're watching Steph Curry start to decline, and you're like, what's Jordan, 24?
25, yeah.
25, and you're watching him sign another year for $60 million plus 2 years from now, and you're comfortable as you become 26 and 27 and 28 years old, you're still comfortable being like, yep, Steph's the man. Steph's the man, just here to help. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not in the guy's head, but my guess is that he would be uncomfortable with that.
And their contracts are coterminous. Yep. So Steph is up the same year that Jordan Poole is up. So to play out the caller's point and what you're saying as well, if Jordan Poole were still here, he still would kind of be waiting for his turn, and he lives out this contract, and his final year is the same final year as Steph, and maybe before Steph gets there, the team decides to give Steph one more year because he wants to play. And even if Steph only takes $50 million, now Jordan's thinking another year.
Yep.
Now what do I do? And maybe then he becomes a free agent and goes somewhere else. And if you're Steph's understudy, could you really go out there and get another big bag?
Right. And this is what, guys, I mean, don't you sit around and think about this stuff, especially in your 20s? Don't you map out your future? This was always my thing. It's what we're doing with Kuminga right now. And you don't turn down the big money when it's offered to you when you're a restricted free agent because it's like you who the hell is going to turn that down?
Yeah, so and you really have no choice.
Yeah, you have to take that. But then once you sign that, I mean, you can cause problems, you can make requests, or you can make plans to get the hell out of Dodge if you feel like you're bumping into a ceiling. I think it's very relevant for players in their 20s. Alex in Oakland. Hi, Alex. Thanks for calling.
What's up, fellas?
What's good?
Hey, I think you guys overlooking a big factor with the Jordan Poole money. If Jordan Poole was still on this team, you got to remember that they will probably be in championship contention, not like they are now. Number two, as the players evolve, Clay was going to be the first one gone. I don't care what nobody say. Clay was going to be the first one of the big three to leave. So that means when you go back and look at the statistics, when Jordan played with Curry and when Jordan played with Clay, when one of the two was out, Jordan was a much more efficient player.
Sure.
But you let him go, and now you're looking for a player that could take the pressure off of Steph Curry in the last 5 minutes of the game and score baskets. Well, you let him go. The reason why they're not signing Jonathan Kuminga to that big contract like he wants, and what's different between him and Jordan Poole, is Jordan Poole helped contribute to a championship and got a ring for it. Now, I think they paid Jordan a year too early, but he actually contributed to the team to justify that contract. And we all blew him up. We all was in love with Jordan Poole. And then the rigmarole behind the scenes stuff happened. If Jordan Poole doesn't have that experience, Jordan Poole is still on this team, and we're probably in contention for the last 3 years for a championship. That's the guy you're looking for right now.
Alex, you're making a lot of really strong points. But in my opinion, you're then using those points to jump too far. I don't think Jordan Poole is the guy they're looking for. I know you're looking for someone to take pressure off of Steph Curry. I'm not doing it with another 6'1" player. I'm just not. I'm not doing it with another small guard. I'm not doing it with someone who doesn't play defense. I do not believe that if Jordan Poole were on this team right now that the Warriors are championship contenders. Your premise, I think, is really strong, and you make some solid points. But like, if you think if Poole is on this team right now, they're a title contender.
Yeah, I don't see it that way.
I don't see it that way.
I mean, they might be a little bit better, certainly on offense, and in the Stephless minutes, they'd be better. But you also have to remember who then wouldn't be on the team, and you wouldn't have Slo-Mo, and you wouldn't have Buddy Hield, and you probably wouldn't have Dennis Schroeder because, you know, Melton became Schroeder. You might have Schroeder, depending on what the money was like. Yeah. But, you know, if Jordan's making 28 or whatever the exact number is, you can't afford to have all these guys. Well, 32 is what he eventually gets up to. Yeah. But, you know, whatever that number is this year, you can't afford to have everybody and, you know, get out of the second apron, which is what Joe Lacob wanted to do.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that there was all of the rough feelings around it, but I mean, you had Jordan Poole on the team 2 years ago, and they were a second round out. So, you know, they were closer, but they still were only, 44, 46 win basketball team. Let's go to, Filmo's on the line. Hey, Filmo, what's good?
Hey, what's good? With all due respect, come on, Willard. I love you, Willard. You be trying to prove your points. Jordan Poole ain't no 6'1", bro.
He's 6'3".
I've stood right next to him. I'm 6'2". Like, everything you see on the internet, subtract an inch and a half.
I've seen him, stood next to him. You said Curry 6'3". To me, Curry 6'4".
I'll text you a picture after this phone call of me standing next to Steph. We're the exact same height. And we're about 6'1" and three quarters. But anyway, go ahead, Filmo. All good.
Got you. I think the problem with the Jordan Poole situation is that Jordan Poole actually represented the true heir apparent to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. You had a perfect portal to just introduce your new squad. You had Kuminga. You had Moses Moody. You had and Jordan Poole. It's just unfortunate that the situation happened with Draymond Green. But at the end of the day, the reason I'm so disappointed, because you had a true portal to the next great. And then we're talking about stuff that, like, shoulda, coulda, wouldas. We don't know where anybody would end up after that punch. That punch changed the whole course of everything, and it's just so unfortunate. But in my opinion, Jordan Poole, man, was the true heir apparent. If you could see anybody coming in Steph Curry's shadows, It would have been perfect. You got Jordan Poole. You got a splash. You got Jordan Poole. You got a pool party right there. Like, I think that's where I get my disappointment at. Like, I'm not trying to look back and have revisionist history, but if I could have a perfect landscape, you got Draymond Green and Steph Curry. Then you got Jonathan Kuminga and Jordan Poole coming up right behind them, learning how to win, learning the pedigree and everything. So it's just very unfortunate because Jordan Poole is Steph Curry 2.0 to me for real. He looked like his junior.
Oof, Philmo, like I get it from this standpoint. Thank you, Philmo. I get it from the standpoint of I think there was a moment in time where a lot of us believed in Jordan Poole, and we really believed in the future because he was 21, 22 years old, and you saw a dynamic scorer. When you start saying I think he's the next Steph Curry,
man,
I cannot think of a more disrespectful thing to say to Stephen Wardell Curry. Like, Steph is an all-time top 10 player. Top 15 player, whatever your debate, sure. Whatever you want.
He's one of
this
one.
This is
though.
An all-time, remember 50 years from now player. Jordan Poole is not a shoelace compared to Steph Curry, and he's showing it to you now with the supposed role of an NBA one. They can't win a basketball game. If he were Steph Curry, they would at least be a little bit more relevant. I believed in his future as well at one point or another, and there would be excitement around it. But to say that Jordan can clearly handle the role of NBA one, I'm not going to say it's been proven false, but so far there's no water in that boat.
Well, just because you're the best player on your team doesn't necessarily make you a quote-unquote one. Like, Bryce Young is QB1 of Carolina, but he wouldn't start for probably 22 other teams in the NFL, maybe more than that. So
correct.
You can be a team's one, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're a good team. Cade Cunningham's a good example. He's their one, and now they're much better.
They're getting better.
Because the team around him is better, and he's also healthy, and he's gotten better as well. So you can be the one. You can be the best player on your team and not necessarily be a one at the same time, in my opinion.
We're sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Safe travel in the new year starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, a 15-minute drive-through oil change for all vehicle types. Friendly technicians are going to check your fluids and wipers and lights and more. Don't even need to get out of your car. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. We'll keep taking your calls, 888-957-9570. As we head into the weekend, divisional weekend, Jordan Poole and the Celtics in town. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
There goes the two boys, the two great boys of the Bay Area, the best sports show on town.
On 95.7 The Game.
My favorite part of that is the on town.
No doubt.
The best on town.
It's all of our favorite part.
The two best boys on town.
What's that, brother?
I needed that smile. You know why? You want to know what I was just doing during that break?
Yeah. You told me what you were doing, and I didn't. I was like, what? What's wrong with you?
What do you think? Wait, I did? I told you?
You told me about some Japanese third baseman who's a future Dodger.
No. Yeah, that was a funny tweet. I don't even know if that was real. There was a guy that said the Dodgers AAA affiliate, Japan, has a player that they're bringing up next year.
This guy's a little runt.
Yeah, no. You know what I was doing? I was looking at the highlights. I was looking.
That's a four.
I was looking at the highlights of Roki Sasaki in the 2023 World Baseball Classic against Mexico. I'm watching these pitches. There is not a Giants hitter that's going to touch any of these.
Well, I mean, add him to the list of other pitchers.
All right, bad example. Dude, it's filth.
Yeah.
It is absolute easy release, 100-mile-an-hour filth. And that's their fifth starter.
Yeah, yeah.
For those of you just getting off work, Roki Sasaki's a Dodger.
There you go, yeah.
Shut the hell up.
I'd like to. I really would. Actually, maybe I will. Let's fade the Dibber.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it, you make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
Ah, yes. Fade the Dibbers is starting to finally work after a 2-4 playoff weekend that's led to a record of 27-30. Starting to get a little messier around here. A
little bit.
Oh, baby. You're going to need to sweep the weekend for a winning record, and I'm here with cash to say you won't
you
do
won't.
It. But four games, one radio host. Dibs, we'll go in order.
Let's do it.
Game one tomorrow, you're going to get America's sweetheart, Patrick Mahomes, right out of the gate, hosting D'Amico Ryans and the Houston Texans and the Chiefs. Big favorites, -8.5.
Was asking Charles Davis earlier about rest versus rust, and the Chiefs are going to be rested now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those guys haven't played since Christmas.
That's
so
true.
We're talking about 24 days, 3.5 weeks. I do think Kansas City will start a little sluggish, and I also really like Houston's front. Shout out Greg Cosell with his breakdown earlier, and they do have a couple of very good corners. I like a low-scoring, close game. I'm taking Houston and the points.
Houston plus 8.5.
Yep.
Okay.
That's a fade from all three of you?
That's a huge fade. Fade! All right, so that's one.
I mean, 17-10 is a win for me. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
Good for you.
Good.
The Detroit Lions are next up in a Saturday night special where they host the upstart and exciting Washington Commanders, and the number is even bigger, -9.5.
Yeah, really exciting and really upstartian, and Detroit not really going to be beset by the same amount of rust. They've been playing all the way through. They played against the Niners. They played against Minnesota. They got a week off to get refreshed. David Montgomery coming back. Yep. This one, for me, feels like a lopsided track meet. This is the one-sided game of the weekend. I'm taking the Lions and laying the 9.5, Cuckoosh.
I will quietly keep my peace on that one.
Anything from you jokers in the back?
Granny's with me.
Oh, Lucas.
Lucas just wants some noise.
Yeah.
He wanted to break the awkward silence.
Vegas music to
I'm
do
with
that.
You. I'm with you. Detroit by 17 in that game.
Okay.
All right. So you're 1-1. Let's go to Sunday. And first, we're going to start with the 49er fan annoying game of the lifetime, where we will start in Philadelphia. Big Dom will be there. Nick Sirianni will spit on the field. And division mates Los Angeles Rams will be in town, while Sean McVay will run up and down the field and chest bump anybody who scores a touchdown. The Eagles are -6.5. Dibs, what do you say?
Well, I say that this is a very difficult place for the Rams to play. They're not going to be in any cozy confine. I know Arizona was a neutral, and boy, they sure looked good last weekend. But Philadelphia, much more physical, and I don't think the Rams are going to have an answer for the two-pronged rush attack from Philadelphia. We're taking the Eagles and laying the 6.5. Cuckoosh!
It's a cuckoosh! He locked it, Grandy hit it!
There you go.
Fade! Yeah, that's going to be a close game. The Rams' defense is hot. I'm fading on that one. And last but not least.
Oh, you're going to fade this one too.
Potentially the greatest game in the history of ever on the divisional round. It is the MVP Bowl. The Baltimore Ravens are visiting the Buffalo Bills. And the Ravens on the road are -1.5.
Yeah, this one for me is tough, but you look at this game and, yeah, Buffalo, very difficult home field, and yet Baltimore is still favored. I think that this is a get-right game for the Ravens after the way last year ended. We're taking the Ravens on the road. We're going to lay the 1.5. We're taking Baltimore.
Hey. Can't wait for Josh Allen to visit Patrick Mahomes on championship Sunday.
Line movement there is scary. It opened up 1.5 for the Bills and swung all the way the other way.
Sure did. Sure did. You think that the public knows what they're talking about, Lucas? Not usually.
Public doesn't always move the money, so I don't know.
Right. So Mark's $12 wager in his online app is what's moving the line.
That's right.
Right.
I'm a parlay this sucker. I'm going fade the Dibbers.
Fade it. You won't.
Major.
If you bet your usual $5, I think a four-team parlay pays about 12-1. So that actually
that's exciting.
A nice little hit for you.
$60, we're going to Sizzler. All right.
But fading me actually makes sense because I'm my one college basketball game that I liked. Yeah. Doug Gottlieb. I don't know if you know Doug Gottlieb.
I do know Doug.
His Green Bay squad is 2-14.
Yeah.
They were up by 17. They're now down by 21. They are awful.
How is that possible in that sport?
Well, maybe he started hosting his show in the second half.
I believe Robert Morris is on a, if I can do the math right, they're on a 71-25 run.
Oh, is that good?
Not for Green Bay.
Similarly, Dibs, you are 3-8 in your last 11 picks.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. It's been a mix of, well, mostly bad picks. Not too many bad beats in there either. Like that Ram pick was just a dud. The Viking Ram game.
The game was a dud.
Yeah, the pick was worse.
Yeah.
Is the point.
It was.
Yeah.
It totally was. Yeah. I don't know what the hell Vikings were doing the last 2 weeks of their lives.
7 games left. If I go 5-2, which is far-fetched,
no
I know.
Chance.
But that would leave me at 500 for the year, Grandy.
Yes, it would.
Pending the Pro Bowl.
And the whole goal was to do that.
I know, which odds are, I mean, odds are not that I will get there, but it'd be kind of cool if I wound up at just dead 500.
Just lose the final 7 and it'll be fine.
Oh my God, that'd be great.
Well, according to my partner here, I'm going to go 1-3, well, so there you have it.
Yeah, I might fade the Dibbers with a three-pick parlay.
Okay.
I'm not betting against the Lions tomorrow night. I think that is a freight train for the Washington Commanders. But I've been wrong before.
I've been wrong before, too.
Sure have.
30 times this year.
Made a living out of it. All right. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Nah.
How about the day after that?
No, I'm actually playing in a little golf event.
How about Monday?
I'm actually busy Monday. We got a Warrior game in the middle of our show. We can't do it Monday.
Right. We're not allowed in. We tried to do the show on Monday, but absolutely nothing but love to the great Martin Luther King, and the Boston Celtics will be at the Warriors at 2 o'clock. All right, so Tuesday. Yeah, you in?
I'm a maybe.
Okay, questionable. Questionable. We'll get updates on the hour. Guess what's coming up next, though? Ladies and gentlemen, it's our friend Mark Grandy. Here he comes. Best of the game. Full hour with Grandy, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Great week, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in and all of the interaction. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.